Wouldn't it be cool to live a baseball life where you get to be part of the game, have an impact on the game? Well, my guest today does just that. He's not a player. He's not a coach. He's not a manager. But he does decide who gets a hit and who doesn't. It's an official scorer, amongst many other things in baseball. That's what we're going to be talking about today on Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, we are going to be talking with David Feldman, a TV producer, baseball historian, and yes, an official scorer who has done the job for many, many big events, including no-hitters and a World Series. And as we're going to learn, some of the people aren't always thrilled with his job as an official scorer. By the way, thank you so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen, as we're available on all your free podcasting platforms. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So let me tell you a little something. I am going to be filling in for Jason Burke on Locked On A's. He's going to be on paternity leave. Congratulations, Jason. The start in your family there. His soon-to-be child is considered to be too old now to play for the A's because they're going for a youth movement. But hey, he's going to take some time off, but Locked On A's is going to continue on. I know I'm filling in for at least three episodes. And I just want to tell you something. I had on as a guest for Locked On A's, a future Locked On A's episode, a really talented TV producer and historian and Oakland A's enthusiast by the name of David Feldman, who is a really, really solid guy who knows his A's and has been involved in all sorts of Bay Area television and ESPN and also and the Pac-12 network. And I wanted to have him on. I want to have a couple A's guests on. So I brought him aboard. We talked, we had a big, long conversation about A's fandom and what it means, as he grew up with the great Tony La Russa teams and everything like that. And he actually has, his father has a connection back to the Philadelphia A's and Connie Mack, which kind of reminded me of my relationship with my dad, who's before he died, he was a San Francisco Giant fan, but he actually went back to the New York Giants as he rooted for them when they were playing in the Polo Ground. So it was a really fun conversation. It's going to be played next week on Locked On A's. But as I want to do, we went on some wild tangents. And as my father would say, we went on little conversation trickles. And one of the conversation trickles we went on was talking a little bit about the fact that he is an official scorer. He's been an official scorer on many games, World Series games. He mentions several World Series games that he was a scorer on, and also no hitters, which for a scorekeeper, you would think would be really a whole lot of pressure. And it didn't really have anything to do with the A's, but I thought it was an interesting part of the conversation. So I took that out and I'm putting it in here as a today's episode of Locked On MLB. And we'll give you a little bit of a preview of the conversation that we had, which we'll be dropping on the Locked On A's feed. So please enjoy a part of a really pleasant conversation I had with TV sports producer, A's baseball historian, and official scorer in Major League Baseball, Mr. David Feldman. Okay. Well, it's my great pleasure to bring to the show TV producer and baseball historian, veteran TV producer, many, many years as a TV producer, David Feldman, and then Oakland A's historian as well. Thank you very much for joining the program.
No, thank you so much for having me, Sully.
So you are, first of all, just tell people a little bit about your background and some of the shows and some of the TV that they may have recognized some of your work for, whether there's people locally in Oakland or maybe even nationally.
Well, I've had a hand in A's television broadcast since the early 90s, either as a stats person or as an associate producer, or a score box operator, any different role to be on A's broadcast. So I've been on there for over 30 years. And then producing now, if you're watching college basketball on the Pac-12 Network, if you're watching Pac-12 basketball on ESPN, I could be behind the scenes working on those. And then one other thing that that's probably the most fun that I do is I'm also a Major League Baseball official scorer. So I score A's and Giants games, and that by far is my biggest thrill.
Okay, I was actually going to ask you about that later, but you threw that out there right now. So if any of you wonder if I overly produce these podcasts, I have my notes of what I want to bring up, but David, you brought up right now, I'm just flipping over to that page right now. Okay, you're an official scorer. Yeah. That's power. That is power in your hands. And a lot of times you hear like, oh, we're waiting for the official score. We're waiting for the official score. That very well could be, if you're at the Oakland Coliseum or whatever the hell it's called now, that very well could be David Feldman's handiwork right there. So how did you get to be an official scorer? And just tell people a little bit of, you know, the responsibility of what that entails.
Yeah, it's for me, why it's so thrilling for me is I was never going to get my name in the box score as a baseball player. I was never good enough. But now my name's in the box score as the official score. And supposedly there's even Baseball Reference is going to start doing pages on official scores. So to get my own Baseball Reference page would be just amazing.
Greatest website in the history of the planet Earth. No, there's no one comes close. Maybe IMDb, but
maybe. Still. So, you know, I was in the press box a lot, either working, doing stats again on the TV broadcast. I also worked a little bit for Associated Press. So I was always in the press box and I was always the one complaining about the official scoring. I'd be the one who would go up to the scorer and say, how could you give an error on that player? How could you give a hit? So eventually one of the scorers in the Bay Area passed away. They had an opening and they pointed to me and they said, well, you're always bitching about the calls. You do it. And I said, gladly, this is awesome. And it's so much fun. It's taken me, I've done World Series games. I've been to Japan 4 different times as the official scorer. I'm probably the least paid person in the ballpark, but it's all worth it because you actually have a small impact on the game.
All right. Now the question is Stomper paid more than you?
Yeah, it's probably Stomper is. And, you know, in all honesty, Stomper probably deserves it.
Yeah, that he is literally the elephant in the room. But you're not going to have a dumber joke than that. You buried the lead a little bit there. You were an official scorer in a World Series. Which World Series was that?
So that was with the Giants. No, it was with the Giants. The Giants, 2012 World Series. I was official scorer for game 2 of that one. I did many playoff games. I've done almost all the A's playoff games since 2006. I think I've done all their playoff games. Unfortunately, they haven't gone very far, so I haven't had a chance to do extra playoff games. 3 of the Japan trips were the A's opening in Japan, and then one time was for the World Baseball Classic, where I went back there for 2 weeks in the Tokyo Dome, and that was a blast.
That's one of my bucket list baseball trips is the Tokyo Dome. I'm dying because I just hear that it's like in terms of outside the United States and, you know, outside of North America, my 2 bucket list things to do as a baseball fan is the Tokyo Dome and the Caribbean Series. Ooh, and the reason is because they are both apparently just very culturally different than seeing a ball game in America, but no less passionate. In fact, you see the clips of how packed it is in the Tokyo Dome, and the sort of the rhythmic chants of the bang of the sticks and getting so into each pitch. And likewise, the Caribbean Series, which is, you know, they take so seriously, and like they're really playing to win, and it's kind of what they want the World Baseball Classic to be in some ways. And those are in terms of outside of North America, those are the 2. So your first time in Tokyo, was that when the Red Sox and the A's opened the series in was that after they won the World Series? Was that 2005
or was it? Yeah, it was 2008.
Oh, 2000. Yeah, they won the 2007 World Series. Yes.
Yeah, it's 2008. Daisuke Matsusaka had signed with the Red Sox, and he started for the Red Sox. And Manny had a big hit in game one against Houston Street, hit a ball off the wall. In game two, the A's came back with Emil Brown hitting a three-run homer and got to be the man of the match. And he gets got so much yen because they give this whole thing. But yeah, the games there are fantastic, especially when the Japanese teams are playing. When I was here for the World Baseball Classic and Team Japan would play, every hitter had their own song. And there's a bleacher band, basically. And they're out there with horns and instruments. And every player has a song. And it's just, it's awesome. And the energy in that place, 50,000 people. And it is a dome. It's kind of like the Kingdome meets Tropicana Field. Kind of has that feel. So it's not a pretty place. And for a country that is so technologically advanced, that ballpark, which was built in the early 80s, has not changed at all. You know, the actual scoreboard, the official scorer actually runs the scoreboard. And I learned this my first trip there in 08. All of a sudden, people are telling me I have to put hit up on the board when there's a hit. I have to push the button. And everything's in Japanese. I have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm trying to figure out what button I'm supposed to push. It was a whole new thing. But the atmosphere in there is just unbelievable.
You know, when you said you had to operate it, my first thought was you had like it was like the dude in The Natural sort of sliding that, like, or you're the guy in the wall at Fenway Park sliding the numbers on there. So it's like you're saying, that's a hit, and you run down and you slide it down there. Okay, we're gonna get back to our conversation with David Feldman in just a little bit, but right now let's talk about Stance. I've been hearing a lot about Stance apparel lately. They've got a new line of active apparel. I think it would be a great gift for the holiday season. They have comfortable socks and all sorts of things. They're well-made socks, joggers, hoodies. They're so much better than the drab socks we wore as kids. Founded in 2009, Stance Apparel represents a radical reinvention of socks, underwear, and active apparel with a sharp focus on comfort, quality, and creativity. Stance brings an atypical aesthetics alongside some of the pop culture's hottest collaborators for the ultimate in style and self-expression, because everything you wear should be a direct extension of who you are and how you feel. You got great designs like Star Wars, The Office, Harry Potter, Disney, Marvel, Bob Marley, Major League Baseball, NBA, Pixar, Wu-Tang Clan, and of course, Batman. They're soft and super comfortable. Stance believes that the perfect fit matters more than fitting in, that those who feel good do good. Go see for yourself, register for an account at stance.com, get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to apply. Enjoy the color and comfort of a life less ordinary with Stance. Hey, thanks so much for making Lockdown MLB your first listen. We're available for free on all your podcasting platforms. Let's get back to our conversation with David Feldman.
Yeah, I tell you something. Have you ever done games in the Caribbean, like when they have some of some of the Caribbean series and the winter series or anything like that?
No, I've seen them on TV and I've seen the excitement and I've talked to people who've been down there and the stories they tell coming back. It just sounds tremendous.
Yeah, it just sounds so much fun. You know, I love it. That's why the Tokyo games just they look fun. I like anything that's fun, you know. I was just the other day, I mean, you were talking a little bit about the A's. I had Melissa Lockhart on the show from The Athletic, and she writes about the Athletics on The Athletic. And I was talking a little bit about what I love about the A's and going to their ballpark, and that is it's because it's no frills.
Right.
And because there's no train, there's no people rowing up on kayaks. You have to go there because you like baseball. You're not there because it's beautiful. It's like it's baseball in a Bunsen burner, and it's just boiled down. And everyone there is there to see the game, and it's the equivalent of going to see like a band before they get huge in a venue, and they're just fans of that band there, and it's. Whatever happens, still, we'll get to the A's and their stadium wise in a little bit, but whatever happens, I hope they don't lose that element of A's fandom. But I see that in Tokyo and I see that in the Caribbean series. And that's what I love, just being around people who love the game. That's what I love.
No, and you're right. The people who go to A's games want to go to A's games. And that's why the crowds are so passionate. And even if they're small in number, they make up for it in their loudness and their cheering. And and their intensity at the game. And they bring a little bit of that Japan with them, you know, the drummers who are now in right field, and they start in left field. But in right field, they have basically their own walk-up song for every A's player, their own beat or their own rhythm. And that's very much like Japan, right, where every player has his own song. The A's and the right field drummers kind of took that. I still remember, like, you know, Jason Kendall would come up and they would do the drum beat for Running with the Devil by Van Halen. And they just, you know, they're the ones who started this, you know, I Believe in Stephen Vogt chant. And that's the excitement that they bring. And when that place is full, it doesn't even have to be. I'm not even talking 35,000 full. I'm talking 20,000 full. That place just buzzes because everybody's so into it.
Yeah. I want to get back to your official scoring for a little bit. Because the most responsibility that an official score could ever have is when a pitcher is throwing a no-hitter. Because you can determine whether or not someone's going to go into the history books or not. And if there's a tough infield hit, that you say, are you going to charge the dude with an error because you're trying to, you know, you're trying to prolong the no hitter. I that to me is the classic Monday morning quarterback. I have no responsibility, so therefore I know everything. Kind of like how you were before you actually became the
exactly.
I have what I dubbed the CC Sabathia role. Which is, I think it's when he pitched for, remember he was with the Brewers for about an hour and a half, and every game he threw nine innings because the Brewers treated him like a rental, like a drug dude in Vegas with a rental car going, he's not signing with us, let's just use him until his arm falls off. What do we care? And there was one game, I could be getting the facts of this wrong, but I think it's when he was with Milwaukee, and there was a, he pitched a complete game one hitter. And the one hit was like in the fifth or sixth inning, and it could have gone either way. You know, it was a tough, you know, if I remember correctly, it was an infield hit.
Was.
He probably could have made the play. It was ruled a hit, and there was never like a clean, if there was, I kept, someone get a clean hit. Someone just get a clean hit, like just something so we don't have to worry about it. And he finished all nine. And that was the only hit. And so I dubbed the CC Sabathia rule, which is if we're past the fifth inning, I'm not talking about, you know, leadoff hitter, like, oh, wait a minute, he's got to preserve this no-hitter the top of the first. But like after the fifth inning, like when you use the MLB app and they put the little red box that says no-hitter, you know, that's like, oh, there's a no-hitter going on. After the fifth inning, I institute the Sabathia rule. That is, if it's, could go either way, rule it an error, and then if someone gets a clean hit, you can go back and say, okay, that we're actually changing. We're reversing that one later. But I just don't want to see a no-hitter broken up based on, you know, whether it's the – I don't want it to be a – what was the dude from the Tigers?
Armando Galarraga,
where it was a blown call.
Yeah,
and with two outs in the ninth, we could just go back in time and retroactively call that a perfect game. But I don't want there to be another CC Sabathia game where there's a, you know, like a questionable call. And then, you know, I know the pitcher may pitch differently. Well, that's not a no-hitter anymore. He may relax. I mean, you can't really be Superman and spin the world backwards and make everything perfect. But am I full of it by wanting to institute the CC Sabathia rule? Is that unfair?
No. We've talked about it. We've had scorer meetings now, which they've started back in 2012. It's the first time scorers ever got together. They started doing this. And we've talked about that. You know, you always want the first hit to be a clean hit. You don't want to be the story. You never want – the scorer doesn't want to be the story. It's the players on the field. So you hope it's a clean hit. But – you know, to me, a hit's a hit and an error is an error. And where it happens and when it happens, you just got to call it how it feels. I've called three no-hitters as a scorer. They're all in San Francisco.
Let me see if I can guess them. Kane?
Yep, perfect game.
Lincecum?
Lincecum against San Diego, the boringest no-hitter of all time.
And was it Jonathan Sanchez?
Jonathan Sanchez. So Jonathan Sanchez.
Did I get all three right?
You got all three. Very impressive. Nice. So Sanchez was the only one.
Because I have Built Bars. And when I when I eat my Built Bars, I can name any no-hitter. Sorry, I had to throw in a plug right in the middle of that. Sorry about that. Good. I haven't everyone knew right. Well, I can't believe I got all three right.
No, I was impressive. I'm very impressive. So the Jonathan Sanchez was the one that had maybe a play, right? He has he actually has a perfect game going on in the eighth inning, and it's a one-hopper to Uribe at third. And it he messed up the play. It really wasn't a short hop. He should have made the play. There was no question on it. And I even remember when I was picking up the microphone, it's like, he's not losing a no-hitter on this. So E5, no question. The, you know, perfect games are easy for a scorer. If a guy reaches base or not, that has nothing to do with us. So that's easy. And again, the Lincecum no-hitter was so boring. He was so dominant against the Padres. There were no tough plays. The game wasn't very exciting. Even the fans for a no-hitter weren't that excited. But here's the thing that I never thought of, and it happened to me. It's just not no-hitters where calls can have an effect on history. And this happened to me in 2007 at the Coliseum, where Mark Ellis was going for the cycle, and he needed a single for the cycle.
Right.
So it's the bottom of the eighth inning. The A's have runners at first and second. They're playing the Red Sox. Mark Ellis hits a smash to third base, and Kevin Youkilis is playing third for the Red Sox in this game. Makes an unbelievable diving stop, gets to his feet, and has plenty of time to get the runner going from first to second, who was Marcotte. And his throw pulled the second baseman off the bag. So, to me, that's a fielder's choice, E5.
Yeah, fielder's choice, E5, yeah.
I didn't even think it was a question. He robbed him of the hit when he made the great play at third, and he had the easy play at second. So they announce, you know, error, and the whole crowd boos. I got 20,000 people booing me at the Coliseum. I felt like Jason Kendall for a little bit. they're just – and so I'm like, okay. So game actually goes to extra innings. Ellis comes up again, hits a clean single, gets the cycle. Eric Chavez hits a walk-off home run.
I remember
so, that. At the time, Eric Chavez was the only person who have ever had the cycle at the Coliseum. So in the postgame locker room, they're asking him about Mark Ellis getting the cycle. Remember, he just hit the game-winning home run. He should be pretty happy. And he goes, he should have had the cycle twice. Make any sense? He goes, that should have been a hit. The official score should be shot and not invited back. In
well,
that
if
order.
Shot if you're shot, then you're probably in either you're dead or you're in the hospital, and your desire to return back to where you were shot would probably not be very high.
Probably not very high. Yeah. Shot yeah. and not invited back. So he's at least polite about it. Just don't invite him back. But
yeah,
I never even thought about a cycle or a situation like that. That would be my most controversial thing, which I didn't even think was controversial.
Eric Chavez, he needed to talk to Barry Zito and find the sort of a calm zen at that point because Zito was probably already on the Giants at that point. Maybe that's why.
That's why he didn't have the zen.
Yeah, if Zito was there, they would have been some incense burning and he would have been playing his sitar or something like that. And then he would have relaxed and things would have been fine instead of asking to first shoot you.
Yeah, first shoot.
And then remove your invitation. To me, the bullet to me lets me know I'm not invited. I've never been shot at. I would assume wherever I'm shot, I don't think they want me there. Don't think they want me. The guy hit the cycle and he hit a walk-off homer. Yes.
Everything was
good.
What
the hell does he care? And what you described, unless you're lying here on Lockdown MLB, unless you're telling a fib. And I probably did watch that game because I was in the Bay Area then, and it was a big Red Sox fan, so I probably was watching the game. I probably was like, yeah, that's by definition, grounder to him, he throws to a base other than first. By definition, that's a fielder's choice.
The fielder's choice. Yeah, actually, I do actually have the audio. Someone sent me the audio, so that will go into my collection.
How dare you? You ruined – who was it? Was it Mark Ellis, you said?
Mark Ellis.
Mark Ellis, okay. How dare you ruin Mark Ellis's ability to get to not have his cycle earlier?
Exactly.
That's all it is. I think he got it. He just didn't get it. I don't get it. come on, Eric. Maybe this is why you haven't been hired as a manager, Eric Chavez. You're just, you're, you know, someone read that quote and said, ah, that's not who I want to run this.
That's not good.
That's not good. Okay, we're going to get back to David Feldman in just a little bit, but let me just remind you that BetOnline remains your number one spot for all your sports action this season. Head to our new updated mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. Okay, so, well, look, it was a fun conversation I had with David Feldman, and the remainder of the conversation is going to be played as a part of Locked On A's over the next week or so. Go check us out at Locked On MLB Pods or follow me at Sully Baseball, and you can find out when the next series of that conversation is going to start and the ones that I'm going to guest host on Locked On A's. So, you know, look, we're in the middle of a lockout, so there's no real news to tell. You know, even an article by Anthony Franco on MLB Trade Rumors was saying they're not even going to be discussed in the core economics until January. So, you know, we're just going to try to set this one out and just get through it here. The holidays are starting up. Hey, we're going to wish a Locked On MLB happy birthday to the probably the biggest name of who was born today. It's probably Elcides Escobar. Elcides Escobar was a Brewers farmhand, lest we forget. And he was part of the Zach Greinke trade when Zach Greinke was traded to the Royals, traded by the Royals to Milwaukee. That turned out to be a pretty great trade. That was kind of I guess the exception that proves the rule in terms of trading away a stable veteran for prospects, as Zach Greinke was a former Cy Young Award winner and he was dealt to Milwaukee, and the Brewers traded away Elcides Escobar, Lorenzo Cain, and Jake Odorizzi, who was part of the deal that gave the Royals both James Shields and Wade Davis. So that's a rare instance. That's where trading away, or maybe that's a sign that they had a good front office. But either way, Elcides Escobar was a huge part of why the Royals won the World Series in 2015 and was the ALCS MVP against Baltimore. It was against Toronto. They beat Baltimore in 2014. They beat Toronto in 2015. So happy birthday to Elcides Escobar. It would have been the birthday of Mike Flanagan, who was really one of the best pitchers for a period of time in the late 70s and early 80s. So look, keep your eye open. We're going to have some interviews that are going to be part of Locked On A's. The crossover a little bit to Locked On MLB. We have some really cool guests coming up. And I've been getting some more emails about rules changes and things you change in the game. So I'm going to try to cover as many of those as possible. And so thanks for keep sending them in. If you have requests for topics, you know, we're filling in a podcast during a lockout. So keep them firing at me. We'll see what we can do. Either way, hey, David Feldman, thanks for being part of this show. And you're going to hear the rest of it on Locked On A's. Thanks for making us your first listen. Make Locked On A's your second listen. What should be your third listen? That should be Locked On Bets with your boy Q and expert analyst from Lee Sterling. Hey, this has been Locked On MLB for the, what day is it? It's the 16th day of December. Wow, we better get our shopping done pretty soon. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.